on episode 360 of the YLP podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the YLP realm, it's Saturday. And you know exactly what that means. It's time for a brand spanking new episode of News of the Week, that show that talks about all the news that's fit for me to talk about. And what do we happen to have on this week's docket? Let me get you up to speed on what we're going to be talking about today. WWE and Twitch have finally come to an agreement that will allow WWE talent to stream with basically no restrictions. Well, almost no restrictions whatsoever. Big news coming out of that this week. And also, we're going to be talking about what that Twitch deal means as a whole and how it affects the talent of the company as a whole. Also, WrestlingInc.com reporting Steve Austin explaining why he couldn't commit to a WrestleMania 39 match. I know a lot of people, apparently the bunch of goofies, were speculating on Stone Cold Steve Austin taking on Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 39. We all know that didn't happen, and we will laugh after we finish this portion of the program. But we're going to talk about that and why he could not commit to a WrestleMania 39 match. Dax Harwood, reporting from GageIceeds.com, apparently is ending his FTR podcast due to toxic response and a feeling that it was a detriment to wrestling. We'll talk about all the particulars on that as to why. But we will end this week's episode with some good news, as we always try to do. And from Clutch Points on MSN.com, Big E provides an update on his recovery that will apparently get WWE fans hyped. I know we have all missed Big E for some time now, and it's been a very long while since we've seen Big E in a ring. And hopefully this report will actually get us one step closer to seeing if, and hopefully when, Big E comes back into the fold as a wrestler and not chilling outside of the ring. It is April 22nd, 2023. And y'all know how we get down. Y'all know what time it is. We are going to waste no more time. Why? Simple. This is episode 360 of the YLP podcast. Let's hit that intro. Let's get it started. And with that being said, let us begin.
Hello, everyone. This is Nate the Effing Great from the Brace for Impact podcast. It is time to open your ears and, most importantly, wake up your mind, because you are listening to the Young Lions Perspective here on Wrestle Attic Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
What's going on, guys? Zach from the Wrestling with Issues podcast here, and welcome to episode 360 of the YLP podcast. So glad to have you guys here with me on this Saturday, and hope you're enjoying your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast, and as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. It is Saturday, April 22nd, 2023. Hope you guys had an amazing week. Hope your weekend was as good as I thought it would be. Before we get into today's show, I'm going to let you know a couple things. I have been in quite a rut as of late. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I have been completely and utterly beating myself up, verbally kicking my own ass, for the better part of a year and a half. I have been absolutely fucking miserable for almost 18 months. In those 18 months, and coming to the realization, even at this very moment, that I've been battling demons I did not know I had to deal with. Demons from my childhood. Demons from my past. Demons that haunt me in my fucking sleep. I have acted like a child. I have been acting as if I am not responsible or accountable for anything that I do. I don't hold myself to the standard that I once did. But realizing that it was a standard that I could never reach. I attempted very hard throughout my entire life to be perfect. Being the perfect person for everyone else. For my mom, my grandmother, my sister, my friends, SYLP, and myself. I have tried very hard to suppress a shit ton of feelings that I have been feeling for almost 30, pretty much the better part of 35 years. And in that time, I realized that I am codependent as fuck. I am too much of a people pleaser. I have no boundaries. I have an avoidant attachment style. I run away when other people's pain comes up. Instead of confronting them, I become my own worst enemy. And for the better part of 2 months, I have essentially been continuing to run away from my demons. Because I'm avoiding them. Because I don't want to confront them. Because I know exactly what doing so entails. I know exactly what that entails. Which actually means the one thing I have avoided doing my entire life. Holding myself accountable for what I have done. And being the one to hold myself responsible for what I had done to myself and to everyone else. I didn't realize the damage I had caused to people. I didn't realize that doing what I was doing hurt people. I didn't realize how hurt I was. How much pain I had to deal with. And how much I had projected that onto everyone else. Because I didn't want to have to deal with the pain myself. Sheltered myself from the world when I was a teenager. Staying cuddled up in my room all day. So that way I didn't have to deal with consequences, accountability, or responsibility for anything. I was living with the mindset of a 7-year-old. And as an adult, you cannot live with the mindset of a 7-year-old in a 35-year-old man's body. Doing that caused me to double down on shit that wasn't true. There have been times when I began to start this healing process where I felt I didn't matter to myself. That I should stay small and stay out of everyone's way so that way I don't fuck anyone else's life up. That I stay hidden, keep my mouth shut. I find it very hard to be vulnerable with everyone. For fear of having it being used against me at a later time. I fear being able to be myself around everyone. Because I always feel it's just better to be someone else than to be myself. Which is why the Mr. YLP character works so perfectly for me. I love the gimmick. Because it was the only way I was able to be me. And when it came down to ending the episode, I had to go back to being Zach. And I didn't know how to do that. Because I didn't know who I was. Beginning that process, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. And I know there's someone out there right now that's feeling the same way I am at this very moment in time. You're not alone. Because now I'm starting to understand what that feels like. I'm starting to understand that I'm not the only one in the world who feels the way I feel at this very moment. I didn't realize how dark of a place I was in. And I don't want any sympathy from anyone. I don't. If you want to give me empathy, that's fine. But at the end of the day, I have to figure out who I am. And as I said it, back in the first episode, I returned. Earlier this year, the Mr. YLP you know as no one loved is dead. Because I know I can't be that person anymore. I'm still Mr. YLP at the end of the day, but the Mr. YLP y'all knew and loved harm people. Is an evil piece of shit. Gives no fucks about anyone else but himself. And doesn't care about anyone else but himself. To those I have hurt, I'm sorry. To those I may have continued to hurt, I am sorry. To anyone I may have pissed off, offended, or may have done anything to in my life, I am sorry. I am working on becoming better. I am going to be getting back into therapy very soon. And I will be also looking for codependency meetings, or CODA. And I'll continue this process. Because I cannot be that person anymore. I am completely sorry that I had to open the show like this, but it's been on my mind a lot as of late, and I figured the best way to explain it was to explain it the way I just did. When we come back, I promise you we will get into the news, and we will be talking about the deal that WWE and Twitch have finally come to this past week. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with episode 360 of the YLP podcast. And it's time to get into the news of the week. Thank you for allowing me to get some shit off my chest and to fill you in on how I am feeling as of late. But we will push through and get into the news because we have a good amount to cover this week. And we start over at MSN.com. Big news coming down the pike this week with WWE and Twitch having an agreement to allow WWE talent to stream with almost no restrictions. This is from Colby Applegate. WWE disappointed both talent and fans in the fall of 2020 when Vince McMahon issued an edict that talent had to cease operations on third-party platforms such as Cameo and Twitch. There was reportedly widespread frustration among the roster, and select talent even met with McMahon in an attempt to change his mind. Additionally, Zelina Vega was released as a result of continuing to stream on Twitch following the ban. Over 2 years later, it appears the Twitch ban has been lifted. Fightful Select reported on Tuesday that WWE and Twitch have reached an agreement to allow WWE wrestlers back on Twitch with almost no restrictions. A small caveat is that they must get clearance first before streaming with people from other companies. Those that spoke to Fightful were very happy about the deal and also revealed that the revenue would be split three ways, with Twitch and talent earning the vast majority. This has been in the works since April 2022 when WWE informed those at a talent meeting that the ban on third-party platforms was changing, although things on the Twitch end took longer than expected. There have been plenty of conversations in the last few years regarding WWE and third-party platforms, seeing as though WWE talent are classified as independent contractors. In addition to Vega's controversial firing, Mandy Rose was reportedly terminated this past December for the content she was posting on her FamTime page. The attention that the news received ultimately led to Rose earning $1 million on the platform within a month following her departure. Now let's check out how this deal affects the wrestlers. As we head over to WrestleTalk.com, this is from Dave Adamson. Recently, it was reported that WWE had inked a new deal with Twitch, allowing its stars to return to the streaming platform. As per the previous report, WWE and Twitch reached an agreement to allow stars back on Twitch with almost no restrictions. Now, of course, we know that the revenue will be a three-way split between Twitch, WWE, and the talent, with the latter two taking the majority, Twitch and the talent themselves. Further details have now emerged, clarifying the arrangement and the split between all three parties. Now, Brian Alvarez reported, from Wrestling Observer, of course, said, quote, "It is confirmed through talent that WWE's Twitch cut is from the Twitch side, not the talent side. Andrew Zarian of Wrestling Observer provided additional details, writing, quote, spoke to a source regarding the Twitch deal with WWE. According to them, WWE execs negotiated for talent to get a larger cut than other creators on the platform. This was described to me as a very talent-friendly deal, end quote. With the report that the WWE cut comes from the Twitch side and isn't taken from the talent earnings, it would certainly appear to be a very talent-friendly deal. It was also reported by Fightful Select that the WWE split of the new Twitch deal is very low, in the single figures. Zelina Vega recently announced plans to return to the streaming platform, though hadn't set a date at the time of writing. Now, I'm a big fan of this. I'm a big fan of the fact that WWE talent will be able to do what they do, you know, being able to, you know, because there's a lot of talent on the roster. And that basically, you know, WWE talent will be able to, you know, be back streaming live on Twitch. And the fact that, you know, they're getting back into the swing of things with that, because when before the ban on Twitch happened, I know, you know, certain talent in the WWE were doing, you know, charity streams, donating to actual charities and all this stuff. And the main reason I was really pissed off about it is because, well, they're independent contractors anyway, the way they see it. And so why wouldn't they be able to stream without having to get fucked over by the company? And so the way I felt about it was basically, you know, Vince having to, you know, Vince stopping the whole deal. But I had a conversation with our esteemed general manager, King Ricky Rose, about it. And main reason why I get WWE basically had banned talent from being able to stream on Twitch was because of the fact that WWE didn't want them using their likeness on the platform. Basically, that's the main reason why Mandy Rose got fired in the first place. She didn't use her actual real name. She was using her likeness of WWE in order to make her bank. WWE didn't like that. And since WWE pretty much owns the rights of Mandy Rose, that's the biggest reason why she got canned. They didn't want her. They didn't mind that she, you know, got her bread. They didn't like the fact that she was using her likeness, her talent name in the company. All around, the deal is great. All around, the deal is fantastic. It's like I said in the report, it's very talent friendly. Very talent friendly. And with the talent getting a majority of the cut along with Twitch. I mean, if it is legit that WWE is only getting like a single digit percentage of the cut, hey, more power to this deal being made. I mean, the real reason that Big E was getting paid off of Cameo was because of the fact that he was using his likeness. Had he not used his likeness for actual, you know, to use on Cameo, it would have been perfectly fine and all that good stuff. But given the fact that he was, which is part of the, and you know, streamers like, you know, Shayna Baszler, Zelina Vega, and Dakota Kai were all, and the reason why this banned, because they used their likeness. It wasn't of course of anything else. It wasn't because Vince didn't want them to do it in the first place and they defied him. It was because they were using their WWE likeness in order to bring in cash for those charity streams. But at the end of the day, with what Twitch is doing, with what the deal is with Twitch, And that is like the best thing that really could happen for Twitch and the talent. It really is. I'm very happy that, you know, they got this deal done and that, you know, we're able to see these streams again. Because I know a lot of people are like, you know, like I said, like Dakota Kai and Shayna Baszler, you know, Xavier Woods, Kofi, whoever uses the platform, they're able to get back on the platform and do what they do, play video games, talk to their fans, have fun. And that's what Twitch is about. I mean, I haven't really been on Twitch as of late, but if you want to go check out the Kings of the Rings podcast on Twitch, you can every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over on twitch.tv/KOTR_podcast. Shameless plug. You're welcome. But the really good thing about the fact that is that, you know, fans are going to be able to go check out their streams once again and not have to worry about, you know, anything going wrong with it. And I'm sure, and I mean, it's nothing. It's really cool. It really is when you get to see, like, you know, one of your favorites, you know, like the party, you know, Tyler Breeze, Xavier Woods, Claudio Castagnoli, and Adam Cole, bye-bye, you know, playing Uno or anything of that nature. Now, the only person that would have to deal with the nonsense would be Xavier Woods, given the fact that Tyler Breeze is not with the company. Claudio's in ROH and Adam Cole's in AEW. Well, technically, Claudio's in AEW, but he just wrestles for ROH as the current reigning and defending Ring of Honor World Champion. But to me, you know, after talking with Ricky and fully understanding what it was that, you know, why the deal makes sense for all parties involved, I got a better understanding of, you know, why. You know, because me, being the Stephen A. Smith of WrestleLadic Radio, I can quickly, you know, go from A to Z in about 2.5 seconds. And that's on a bad day. On a good day, it's about, you know, 1.9. But, you know, having that understanding and realizing that, you know, this is a good deal. Everyone involved pretty much is on good, as with good standing on that. Talent will be able to go back to streaming as long as they don't use their likeness. And that, you know, we all get to see our, you know, favorite wrestlers who do stream and do Twitch and all these things being able to do what they love. And that's, you know, besides professional wrestling, of course, playing video games, talking to their fans, talking to the people, having fun. And that's what it's all about. And that's what Twitch is really all about. Minus the whole, you know, girlies, doing hot tub shit or getting their back blown out legitimately on Twitch. Yes, that actually happened. Yes, that was a thing. There was an actual lady streamer who was getting her back blown out on stream and only got a 7-day ban. So you do with that information what you will. But I think it's a very cool thing that WWE was actually able to, you know, explain why, you know, because most of us didn't really understand why, especially myself, as to why they actually put the ban on that. I thought personally Vince McMahon was just doing it just to be a dickhead and that, you know, he just didn't want his talent, you know, even, you know, putting that out there, especially when they were charity streams. But now, having had that talk with Ricky and understanding fully what it was, that it honestly, you know, why Vince did what he did truly does make a lot of sense. When we look back on it, with hindsight being 2020, I can understand why Vince McMahon put the ban on Twitch and his talent and the company not doing, streams on there and using their likeness in order to have monetary gain for those charities. He didn't want them just using it. That's how Mandy Rose got canned. I mean, granted, had Mandy just, you know, used her actual given name it wouldn't have been much of an issue. Mandy Rose didn't like that, wasn't feeling that, didn't want that to happen. And so they canned her. Now, honestly, in that case, you know, a suspension would have been just as good, if not better. They still could have had her drop the title to Roxanne Perez in that manner, suspended her. Firing, I think, personally, was the wrong move. You know, I get it. But a suspension would have held this, would have honestly held the same weight. Suspend her for about a month, 2 months, you know, however long they needed to kind of sort of maybe make her readjust all these things. But I didn't think firing her was the best move, personally. I still stand by that. That's how I feel. But I can now clearly have a better understanding as to why Vince did what he did. Even though I disagree with the decision, I understand why Triple H did what he did in terms of Mandy Rose. I still don't have to like it, but as long as I can understand it, it gives me a clearer idea of what it was that needed to pretty much be done. Again, we should all be very, very happy with the decision, with what WWE did, with how, you know, the deal was made. The fact that the deal was made, and now that we're going to be able to see, you know, our favorite streamers back, you know, like I said, like the likes of Dakota Kai and all those. And it's going to be good. It's going to be a good time. We'll see how it all goes. And the fact that, you know, it is a very, very friendly cut of the deal, I'm sure, you know, well, we may not ever get particulars on it, but if it's a very, very, very friendly, you know, deal for the talent, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You know, I don't see anything wrong with it. And again, you know, talent will be able to do charity streams, you know, to help out charities, you know, in Florida or wherever they may be living at that point in time, for causes they believe in, all this good stuff. It's a really good thing, you know, and that's what I love about Twitch too. The people who, you know, don't sit in hot tubs and, you know, all that nonsense. Once you get past that, Twitch is a wonderful platform for people. Like some of my favorite streamers that I watch, Gold Glove is one of my favorite streamers. His soon-to-be wife, Femstef, is on there. Of course, Kings of the Rings podcast every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Twitch. Holla at your boy. Even though I believe they were on Twitter this past week. You know, a lot of my favorite, you know, streamers that I watch, I follow them on YouTube as well. So, you know, checking them out, all these things, you know, Tim the Tap Man, Ninja, Wildcat, you know, the Dew, Moo, you know, all those streamers I found off Twitch. Some of them I may have found on either on Twitch or maybe through YouTube because they play with those people. Like Soup, Blarg, you know, all that stuff, you know, Big Puffer, all those. I know everybody has their whole, you know, beef with, you know, Twitch and YouTube get involved. WWE is not going to get a majority of the cut, which is a win. Twitch gets a better majority of the cut than WWE. Win, then the talent get the biggest cut. Win all around. 100% win. I have no beef with this. I have no hate. You know, I do like this deal. I do love the fact that, you know, people that are, you know, Twitch fans get to see their favorite talent back on Twitch. And we can only imagine what's going to be going down in the DMs once that starts getting back. I'm sure Zelina Vega will announce it pretty soon. And I'm sure other talent in the company will do so as well. And that's just a win for everyone else because we then get to see our favorite wrestlers, you know, seeing them in a different light outside of the wrestling ring, on the mic, or anything else of that matter. We should be very happy about this deal. We should be very happy. It's a very friendly talent deal. And that, you know, that no one, you know, that everyone is good. It's all good. It's a win for everybody. And none of us should be mad about that whatsoever. All right, guys. So when we come back on the other side of episode 360, I got a little bit more news. We got some news. You know what I'm saying? We're going to head over to WrestlingInc.com. And talk about Steve Austin and why he couldn't commit to his WrestleMania 39 match. And it's not that much of a big deal, but I think it's something that needs to be talked about. And we're going to discuss that. Also, Dax Harwood is ending the FTR podcast due to toxic response and feeling that it was a detriment to wrestling. Very, very, very heavy stuff we're going to be talking about today. But hey, sometimes we got to do what we got to do. And we'll be talking about that on the other side of episode 360 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Y'all, and we're back, and y'all know we got a bit more news to get into. But before we get back into all words hard before we get back into all the news that's fit for me to talk about, I want to make sure that you are getting not only your fix of the YLP podcast, but the remainder on the family that is Wrestle Addict Radio. Okay, every Tuesday, make sure you check out the brand new season of the Brace for Impact podcast, hosted by my homie Nate the Effing Great, aka Stone Cold Nate. If you know, you know. Yes, if you're into the whole TNA Impact of yesteryear, this is the show for you. Check out all that yummy, delicious podcasting knowledge from my boy Nate when you check out the Brace for Impact podcast every Tuesday on Wednesdays. And I've been plugging it for pretty much the majority of this episode. Check out the Kings of the Rings podcast, hosted by my squadron, my peoples, the three best people I think that could do this show, period. King Ricky Rose, our esteemed general manager of Wrestle Addict Radio, Will Tara Shook, aka Willie T, and of course the legend that is K motherfucking Murphy. And that's how you gotta say it. It's like a pimp name slip back. You gotta say K motherfucking Murphy. Okay? Yes, they are on every Wednesday night on Twitch over at KOTR_podcast. Over on Twitter, which I believe they were this past week for the very first time. And congratulations to them on that. And you can check them out on YouTube. Just simply search for Kings of the Rings podcast over there. And also make sure you subscribe to the Kings of the Rings podcast on YouTube. Like all that good stuff. And you make sure you check out Wrestle Addict Radio on YouTube as well. Thursdays, you get the audio version of the Kings of the Rings podcast. If you did not catch the live viewing of the show from this past Wednesday, okay. Friday, kick off your weekend the only way we need to know how, and that is with the Fretzelmania podcast. Podcast that discusses the Ruthless Aggression era. Make sure you check that out. That just literally dropped yesterday. So make sure y'all get into that. And of course, Saturdays, get your fix of all the news it's fit for me to talk about with the YLP podcast, because this is Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. Yeah. Let's get back into the news as we head over, to WrestlingInc.com. Steve Austin explains why he couldn't commit to WWE WrestleMania 39 match. This is the point of the program where I wish I had Nate soundboard, because I would definitely would have been using it this entire segment, of this podcast, because if you know, you know. And if, of course, before I get into this bit of news here, if you want to join us for Backlash, and I believe that is in a couple weeks. Let me see. Today is the 21st. No, well, as of this recording, it's the 21st, but it will be the 22nd by the time you listen to this. About two weeks and a day, 15 days away from Backlash. And I believe, as far as I know, we're going to be doing a meetup in the War Lounge of our Discord. If you want to join us over there for that, head over to Twitter, because I know you got Twitter. I know most of y'all have Twitter, and if you don't, I commend you. You're a saint. But if you do have Twitter, go over, search for Wrestle Addict Radio, type in at @addict_wrestle. Go to our link tree that is there right on that page. Click on that. It should be having an invite for Discord. click on the invite. Our esteemed general manager, King Ricky Rose, will more than likely give you the go-ahead to be invited in. And then you can join us in the War Lounge. We've actually done some upgrades to the Discord as of late. We have a WWE chat, NXT chat, AEW and ROH chat, Impact chat. So if you're into those things and you want to talk about it, you can go in there. Again, discord.gg is the spot. But if you want to get our invite to the Discord, head over to Twitter at @addict_wrestle. Click on that invite for Discord. You will be automatically invited, because I'm sure we want y'all in there. We want you to join us. We talk wrestling. We want you to talk wrestling with us. We have fun. It was a blast. I was in there in the War Lounge for night two of WrestleMania. Myself, Sir Charles, King Ricky, Fretz, and Nate, and we had an absolute fucking blast. So if you want to join us on that for Backlash, that'll be going down on, I believe, on May 6th, come swing through. Just make sure you join us on that Discord, and we hope to see you in there for Backlash 2023. Let's get into this news, shall we? This is from Colby Applegate. Stone Cold Steve Austin ultimately did not appear at WrestleMania 39, but it wasn't for a lack of WWE's trying. The WWE Hall of Famer recently spoke to Sports Illustrated and revealed why he didn't have a match in Hollywood, saying, quote, "I haven't spoken to this, but I'll give you the story. I met with some people from WWE. We talked about the possibility of me wrestling at WrestleMania 39. The biggest thing in my mind was the presentation of what match it was going to be." Austin elaborated that he initially turned down coming out of retirement for his WrestleMania 38 match against Kevin Owens several times, until he approved of the creative direction. He didn't want to be a constructed match, but rather one that came together in the moment. While he didn't touch on any of the pitched WrestleMania 39 opponents that reportedly ranged from Roman Reigns to Brock Lesnar to LA Knight, Austin revealed that his production schedule was the main reason why he couldn't commit to another match. Makes all the sense in the world when he explains this, saying, quote, "But to do a proper match, I'd have to be in off-the-chart shape. I told them, and this is the exact truth. I said, guys, I'm just fixing to go into production on this show, Stone Cold Takes on America, and until we start production, I don't know what my life looks like. I can't commit." Sure enough, there were technical issues before we finished. Production for Austin's new A&E reality show finished a month behind schedule. On top of that, he didn't believe there was a viable way for him to properly get in ring shape while driving an RV all over the country for several hours a day. Basically, what the show is about, from what I've read, and I've read a couple other articles kind of like relating to this, was that the show itself, I believe, and actually there's a hyperlink for that, so let me see if I can check that out real quick and explain this to y'all. Yeah, they got a new reality show, Stone Cold. So this is a 10-part documentary series, a docu-series, Stone Cold Takes on America, which will premiere on April 30th, so you guys know. This is going to follow Austin as he travels in his RV and accepts challenges from fans that push him out of his comfort zone while making up for some lost time from being a WWE superstar. The show will also feature archival footage to weave the story of Austin's old and new life. He took to Twitter, actually, following the news to address the show announcement, saying, quote, "I've been thinking about my pro wrestling days from way back, about how much of my life I spent out on the road chasing a dream and achieving things I never would have thought possible. I gave that business everything I had, and it took a lot out of me, and I wouldn't trade it for the world because it was the best job I ever had. But in doing so, I missed out on life. So I'm about to jump in that RV behind me, and we're about to hit the road on an extended road trip, do things I want to do, see things I want to see." Now, this is going to be pretty cool, because if you really think about it in the grand scheme of things, I'm sure for most of us, we can actually relate to this, you know, especially for those, you know, who have like, you know, these careers, you know, in finance or in tech or, you know, in any other business that requires you to really be in your shit, in your business, in your field, doing it, whatever it is that you do. And apparently my guest co-host is being a little pain. Yes, Princess is a diva. God forbid she does not have any room to make sure she gets her nap in. She does love her naps. But no, this is actually going to be really cool. I actually might watch this, to be brutally honest, because it's something that you normally don't get to see. Because most of the time, a lot of wrestlers, ones that we know and love, you know, people like TJ Wilson, Jason Jordan, you know, Molly Holly and all those, you know, they stick around in the business. And, you know, I'm sure they do things outside of it, but you normally don't get to see what they do outside of it, especially when, you know, you lose, like Stone Cold Austin, Steve Austin said, he missed a lot of time doing things he couldn't do because he was chasing his dream of becoming, in my opinion, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And if anyone tells you different, you punch him in the mouth and you say, Stone Cold, what? You don't like French toast, what? You don't like sausage? You don't like sausage gravy on your biscuits, what? I'll tell you right now, Nate has a better impersonation than I do, so I'm gonna put that out. I'm gonna put that to bed real fucking quick. But I'm really happy for Stone Cold. Yeah, I have a belly. Yeah, I'm happy for Stone Cold. I'm happy that he gets to do this series. I'm happy that he actually gets to be able to do things that he has never done before and be able to actually enjoy it. And to, you know, even, you know, challenges from fans, you know, being able to weave his old and new life and how it, you know, now it is coming to be. And I think it's just gonna be a really, really, yeah, you like your belly ripped, huh? Yeah. And that it's a way for him to be able to kind of, you know, like I said, you know, not have that FOMO, fear of missing out. You know, he wants to be able to actually enjoy himself and enjoy, you know, what the things he didn't get to do when he was, you know, pretty much, you know, dumping people on that stack of dimes you call a neck. But I think it's going to be interesting to see. I think it'll be definitely worth checking out. Again, Stone Cold Takes on America is supposed to drop April 30th. On A&E, and I'm sure it will be part of that whole WWE Legends Sunday ordeal. So if you plan on checking that out, I think it's gonna be worth checking out. I think it's gonna be really cool. I may actually give you all my thoughts on the episode. If I do remember to watch it, I will check that out, and maybe I can give you guys a little, you know, my thoughts on the first episode. We'll see if everything, you know, is the way it needs to be. I got y'all. But let us move into some other news that we do have for this particular segment of the podcast as we head over to CageSideSeats.com. Excuse me. Dax Harwood ending FTR podcast due to toxic response, feeling it was a detriment to wrestling. This is from Sean Reuter. Where's my boy Mark Middleton? I haven't seen any articles from him in the last few episodes. Kind of freaks me out a little bit, but let's get into it anyway. Dax Harwood's FTR podcast just launched a few months ago, but it feels like longer since almost every episode has made headlines on sites like this one. Before I go into the rest of this article, I have not ever listened to an episode of the FTR podcast. I knew it was a thing, but I just never really got around to listening to it. But bees what it bees, it is what it is, and we shall continue. I digress. The show's covered a lot of things, but what gets attention is Harwood's account of issues he and his friend and partner, Cash Wheeler, have had with others behind the scenes at WWE and AEW, or updates on FTR's contract status and future plans. Lately, the duo's relationship with CM Punk has been a hot topic, with Dax's podcast comments about the Lightning Rod star and his impending return to AEW fueling the fire. But Harwood says that none of that was ever his intent for the pod. What it's become, and the way others have responded to it, led his decision to end it. This is just this is from the released final episode. This is what he said, and I quote: "When we being Harwood and his co-host Matt Coon started this podcast, we just wanted to do good wrestling. I was looking forward to, and I still do, and did looking forward to bringing my thoughts on psychology, in-ring action, what I thought was good wrestling, my love for Bret Hart, and break down some of the things we had done in our career and some of our biggest moments. I know that we would probably ruffle a few feathers. I know that I can. The only thing I should apologize for is how the journalists and the news sites took a section of something I said and made it seem like I was such a bad human being. I want to apologize to not only my fans. I want to apologize to the people who already didn't like me and fans of, for example, the Young Bucks, fans of Kenny Omega, fans of MJF, or anybody else who I may have upset. I want to apologize to them because I never wanted you to hate me so much that you would say some of the things that you said to me. Going into this podcast, I never thought that would happen. I hate that happened. I thought I was way more mentally tough than I am, but I admit that I'm not. I don't think that I can handle some of the things that are said. I also don't know if I want my daughter 10 years from now to read some of the things that are said about me. Ultimately, we all wanted to do good for wrestling. I don't think that this podcast, as much as we tried, as hard as we tried, I don't think that the podcast was reflecting that for whatever reason. With fans, I feel like we kind of made life more difficult for them because there are a lot of fans, myself included when I was a fan, where their life did almost revolve around wrestling because they loved it so much. I was the same way as a kid. I think we both feel that we were causing more harm than good, even though we were trying to do good. It just didn't come across that way. I guess we didn't portray it that way. We were more of a detriment to professional wrestling than we thought, and we never wanted to be that, end quote. In particular, Harwood says is pitching a Punk and FTR versus the Elite match for All In at Wembley Stadium and sharing messages Punk had sent him about wanting to return to AEW and pro wrestling resulted in death threats, calls for his job, and insults being directed at his 9-year-old daughter. Dax apologized to Wheeler and Punk for any toxicity that came their way as a result of the podcast and spoke about how much Cash's recent support meant to him. Both Harwood and Coon said there was no pressure from AEW or owner Tony Khan to shut down the podcast and didn't rule out the possibility it could return at some point in the future. Now, there's a hyperlink over on ksideseats.com if you want to check out that final episode. Now, this is kind of a continuation of what we talked about last week with Chris Jericho calling out the loudmouths who said AEW All In London was going to be a failure. To every single fucking person on the planet in terms of the IWC who called for someone's death, their job, or hurled insults at someone's daughter, you are the biggest pieces of shit on the planet. Again, you're a bunch of fucking goofies. I get it. At times I will talk shit, but I will never, ever, and if I ever do, I will apologize immediately, and you have my word on that, ever send a death threat, call for someone's job, or hurl insults at someone's child. That is disgusting. Juvenile. Vindictive. Very douchebaggy. And downright fucking stupid. I get it. But here's the problem. We live in a fucking world where everyone gets offended by every fucking thing on the planet. Someone doesn't have the same opinion you do, canceled. Someone has an opinion that you don't like, canceled. Someone says some fucked up shit you may not like, cancel. Why? Because you can't fucking handle it your damn self. You can't handle the fact that someone may have a different a fucking opinion than you do. You can't handle the fact that someone may think differently about certain shit in this world. But that is no fucking reason, ever, in the history of ever, to call for someone's head. Death threats. Are you fucking kidding me? Seriously. Didn't we do this shit with Roman? Literally 3 fucking weeks. Like 3 weeks ago. Not even 3 fucking weeks ago. I was talking about Roman Reigns receiving fucking death threats because he beat Cody. Really? This is why I hate the IWC sometimes. I really do. This is why I hate it. Because for most of us, we have decent takes on how we feel about professional wrestling. I don't agree with Ricky on everything. We have conversations, you know, once, maybe twice a week, right? He and I don't always see the eye to eye on certain issues. When it comes to certain things, he thinks one way about one thing, I think differently on that same particular thing. Does that mean I'm going to call for that man's head? No. Why? Simple. I don't buy the hand that feeds me, y'all. He brought me in a time where I didn't even know that I was even being scouted. Okay? It came out of nowhere with this shit between myself, Ricky, and Will. Okay? I'd put in the work to become part of Wrestle Addict Radio, but I will never, ever, in the history of fucking ever, call for Ricky's head, Kay's head, Will's head, Fretz's head, Nate's head, and even though he may not be Ronnie Willis, Mance's Warburg. Mance, you my boy. Mance Chapel, my boy. I will never call for his head either. Ever. Just because we have a difference of opinion. But even Dak said it on here. I can understand why he apologized. I get that. Okay? I can understand how he feels about, you know, him not wanting to see the comments 10 years later down the line from his, you know, his daughter seeing those comments. He came in with good intentions. He wanted to talk about, you know, psychology and ring action, what he thought was good wrestling. Things that they, him and, you know, Cash had done in their careers. Of course, they were going to ruffle a few feathers. That's how this shit works. I know damn well I'm going to ruffle some feathers. I know this. My people at WrestleAddict Radio don't call me the fucking Stephen A. Smith of WrestleAddict Radio for fucking nothing. I know I'm going to piss some of you off. I know I'm going to ruffle a few feathers. I know that some of the shit I say here on this podcast, you may not like. But you know what? You know what the difference is between me and the goofies in the IWC? Unless I know I need to, I will not apologize for what I said. If I know I fucked up, I will let you know. And trust me, I have had to eat plenty of fucking crow when it comes to this podcast. Let that be known right now. If you've been listening to me since day fucking one, A, thank you. B, y'all know how I get down. But it pisses me off to no end. That when I'm online or all this shit and, you know, like, it was bad enough. It was bad enough that we had Roman Reigns receiving death threats because he beat Cody. It's bad enough that we had people wanting Roman Reigns to die because he beat Cody Rhodes. Y'all some fucked up motherfuckers. Y'all are fucked up, and I did not think I was even going to be in a ranting mood today. This pisses me off to no fucking end, honestly. This pisses me off to no fucking end. I hate y'all. Well, not y'all listening, if y'all listen to WrestleAddict Radio and y'all fuck with us, we love y'all. But for the goofies, I hate y'all. The IWC is fucking toxic. Any person that's gone on Twitter for more than 5 seconds knows Twitter itself is fucking toxic. But the IWC is a whole different fucking animal. It's already terrible enough I have to see bad takes on wrestling on Twitter during fucking SmackDowns, Raws, NXT, which unfortunately I missed, my bad, AEW Dynamite, all this shit. Y'all have some fucking really piss poor takes. Let's keep it a stack. At times I do too, I can admit that. But damn, y'all calling for people's heads? Come on, we are humans. I get it, but we're better than this. You're better than this. If you've ever sent a death threat, you're better than that. If you know someone that's done that, you should tell your friends they're better than that. And if you are someone that's doing that shit, fuck you and fuck anyone else you fuck with that does that shit. That's bullshit. Now, granted, I understand Cash, you know, Dax being, you know, thinking he was mentally more mentally tough than he was and admitting that he's not. I respect that. I understand that and I can respect it. But goddamn, y'all, we got to do better than this. We got to do better because this is fucking nonsense, bro. All because Hardwood wanted to, you know, have a Punk FTR versus the Elite match. Come the fuck on. Sharing messages about Punk wanting to return to AEW. I get it. Some of y'all don't like CM Punk. That's fine. I get that. I happen to like CM Punk still. I kind of expect that he will be back at AEW at some fucking point. But Jesus fucking Christ. That is no excuse. That is no excuse to ever send someone a death threat because you don't happen to like CM Punk. Fuck that and fuck you. To all the goofies out there, that's my message to y'all today. Fuck that and fuck you. Be better. Absolute nonsense. Come on. Just because, like, I can go and listen, I can go check out the Kings of the Rings podcast. Go put up, go, you know. You know, be able to, you know, post an opinion on there, and, you know, it could be something as meaningless, you know, as like a, I would love to see, it should have been Rhea versus Bianca at WrestleMania. And then, you know, Ricky and Willie say, you know, there's plenty of time for that. And I'm like, you know what? They're right. I'm in the moment, in this moment. My mind can be changed if you have a logical reasoning as to why, you have the difference of opinion. Feel me? I may still disagree with you at the end of the day, but at least I gain a new perspective in terms of professional wrestling. And isn't that what this is all about? Professional wrestling is never about calling for someone's head. Professional wrestling is about enjoying the sport as a whole. We can argue all day about who, like, you know, who's better, Bret or Shawn, who's the greatest, you know, professional wrestler of all time. All this shit. We can. But that still doesn't mean for 1 second you should be insulting someone's daughter. And I swear to God, if it's the kind of fucking comments that I think it is, y'all are some sick bastards. I'm assuming, and that's not good, but I hope that it has not come to that. They were trying to put out a podcast where they were able to talk about certain things they've done throughout their career. They wanted to talk about psychology, in-ring product, their love, a man's love for Bret Hart. I'm sure a lot of people love them some Bret Hart. But it's people like the goofies of the IWC that really fuck it up for a lot of us. We have to be better than that. And hopefully going forward, we can be. And that's going to conclude our mid-card segment for episode 360 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, y'all know what time it is. It's the main event or segment of episode 360. And here's what we're going to be talking about. From WrestlingNews.co, Tony Khan speaks on Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker, saying they will never get along, and Rosa tried to make amends with the AEW locker room. We're going to be discussing that and my thoughts on all that. Dustin Rhodes feels really good about the future of the AEW women's division, as do I. We're going to talk about what Dustin Rhodes said from WrestlingHeadlines.com. And to end today's show today, I always try to end the show on a high note. We go back to MSN.com via ClutchPoints.com. Big E provides an update on his recovery that will get WWE fans hyped. And if it is what I think it is, I think we're going to be in a very good mood to end today's show. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, y'all know what time it is. It is time for your main event or segment of episode 360 of the YLP podcast. And I didn't even say this in the beginning of today's episode, but if you have any questions, comments, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 359 episodes of the YLP podcast, make sure you can leave yourself and me, of course, a nice little voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/younglionsperspective. Or you can simply send me a nice little email over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. Sound off. Let me know what you're thinking about today's episode and what about the topics that I spoke on today. That includes the last three articles I do have for this week. And let us get back into the news. as we head over to WrestlingNews.co. Tony Khan, Thunder Rosa, and Britt Baker will never get along. Rosa tried to make amends with AEW Locker Room. This is from Angel Arambolis. Angel, hopefully. My apologies if I busted up your name. AEW President, General Manager Tony Khan appeared on today's Busted Open Radio. This is actually from Wednesday. AEW President, General Manager Tony Khan appeared on Wednesday's Busted Open Radio to promote that night's Dynamite show from Pittsburgh. Now, Dave LaGreca asked Khan about the Britt Baker Thunder Rosa issues playing out on AEW All Access, and he said that he hopes to see them in the ring together again. Khan said the following about their situation, saying, quote, "Well, we'll have to see. Thunder Rosa is not cleared to return to the ring yet. When she is, certainly we'll welcome her back with open arms in AEW, and it has been an interesting situation. Some of that stuff, I think, should stay behind closed doors, but that's where All Access does give fans a great chance to see what happens behind the scenes. So we'll have some more All Access taking a look at what happens backstage when Thunder Rosa comes back to AEW," end quote. He goes on to say, quote, "I know that the locker room and Thunder Rosa at times have had some stuff. But I also think that there should be largely between, between everyone that was in the room. There was a point of All Access where I have to make a decision and say, okay, this is as much access as anyone who is backstage would reasonably get. So you'll see me making some tough choices about what we do and don't show. I do think in the future, Thunder Rosa is a great wrestler and has been a great champion in AEW. I look forward to having her back, and she's done a lot of the things we would ask on the path to return and to make amends with some people, but there are some things you can't amend. There are some people that are never going to get along. There are some people that are never going to be friends. Dr. Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa are not going to ever be friends, and they are not ever going to get along. As for what the future is with them, I would say it's probably going to be an intense rivalry for as long as both of them are wrestling. These are not two people that are ever going to be buddies, but it's something to follow for sure. Thunder Rosa, we look forward to having her back in the ring," end quote. Khan then went into promoting what Baker will be doing tonight in Pittsburgh on Dynamite. Of course, she teamed with Jamie Hayter to go up against Ruby Soho and Toni Storm, which I believe Hayter and Baker got the victory, but the Outcast got the last laugh as Chris Jericho had handcuffed Adam Cole to the ring ropes and watched as Baker got severely beaten with a kendo stick. That was crazy. But if it is the case that, you know, Baker and Rosa will never be friends, that's perfectly okay. There have been a lot of times in pro wrestling history where there are two, maybe a couple more talents that literally do not like each other. But they will, and I actually read this off air, that they would still be able to compete against each other, no problem, if it was called for. So there you go with that. So they're going to be, so they said they have no problem working with each other, but as far as being friends or, you know, going on girls trips together, that will never be a possibility. Never, ever, forever, ever, forever, ever. Real ones know. And that's okay. And that is perfectly okay. You know, there have been, like I said, plenty of times where, you know, people that have worked together in the business, have had feuds, all this stuff, do not like each other. But they are willing to, but they will have no problem being willing to work together for the greater good of not only the company they work for, but for the sport of professional wrestling as well. It be like that sometimes, okay? Now, in terms of what Khan said, I'm okay with what he said. You know, and you know, understanding that, you know, there's a lot of the stuff that they've put on for AEW All Access, a good amount of it should be behind closed doors. Make sure that happens then. But showing that, you know, what it's going to be like when Thunder Rosa did return to AEW, that's going to be an interesting look to see. Now, I personally have not watched All Access, because honestly, you know, after Dynamite, I'm just like, I'm good on wrestling. Let me put on some baseball or something of that nature. You know what I mean? Or I'm just going to go to bed afterwards. But You know, it will be interesting to see how, you know, the show does look. And I'm sure there will be people, you know, talking about it because they will watch it. I will not. That's just how I get down, you know. But if people are going to be willing to actually check it out and see what happens, hey, it hopefully it gets good ratings. It's all I really ask for when they put on stuff like this. Same thing with the AEW Legend Sunday. I don't really watch it as much, like the Rivals or, you know, looking for finds from years past in terms of memorabilia. But because Top Dollar tried to fuck over Kane. I did see that segment where he tried to, I think it was like the old mask. And he was trying to get a deal. And Kane was just like, "Oh, you watch your goddamn mind." He didn't say that technically, but the way I translated it into my English, yeah, that's pretty much what the fuck he said. But I actually thought it was pretty funny. But no, I mean, again, it's pretty much, you know, they get to be each other. They get to look at each other's faces, just like, "I don't like you, you don't like me," and that's perfectly fine. But I have no problems working with you, as long as you don't, you know, fuck around and try to do some goofy shit, try to sandbag or anything like that. I am willing to work with you for the greater good of not only the company but for our careers as well. And that's all it really is, and that's okay. You know, as long as you're willing to get past, you know, the fuck you stage of the program for at least however long the feud goes. Hey, if it makes for good wrestling, so be it. Think about your job. You don't like everybody you work with. You know you don't. Stop acting like you do. You know what I'm saying? I've had plenty of jobs that I've worked at. There are just some people I will not associate myself with. I'll be cordial. I will say hello, good morning, good evening, how are you? But I'm not going to get into full-blown conversations about, you know, your kids or, you know, your hobbies outside of what you do at, you know, at work. It happens to all of us. When we have jobs, careers that we work in, there are people we are not going to like. You know, we've all been there. You'll need that person in order to get the job done. Do you not? You don't gotta like them, but you know, as long as they're holding up the end of the bargain, you have a good amount of respect for them for doing what they do. That's all it is. That's all it is. Same scenario. Apply it to yourself in real life. They're working a job. They don't like each other. Bees what it bees. It is what it is. But let's head over to WrestlingHeadlines.com and discuss what Dustin Rhodes... Uh-oh. Time out. I may have effed up on that one. Hold on one moment. My apologies. I hit a button I should have been hitting. Hold, please. Okay. So we head over to WrestlingHeadlines.com. Dustin Rhodes feels really good about the future of the AEW women's division. This is from Joey G. That's what the name as an article. I'm just giving them but the name that they did get, they, you know, gave themselves. All right. Okay. So Dustin Rhodes talks all things AEW. The Natural appeared on Busted Open Radio, where he broke down why he's excited for the promotion's future, specifically the women's division and how much it has improved since 2019. Rhodes begins by discussing the amount of training that the women stars go through on a weekly basis. Excuse me. Saying, quote, "I feel really good about it because if you look back to day one, they've grown so much. They're still coming to my training practices every week and we drill, we teach new things, we fix wrongs, things like that. And we just do it every single week. And that repetition gets them a little loose with my talking about the audience and making people feel something," end quote. Rhodes later adds that he believes the women's division is thriving in ways it hadn't before, later acknowledging that it took AEW some time to get there, saying, quote, "To me, I believe they're doing an excellent job. I believe our women's division is only going to get stronger and stronger. It's really good right now, and I'm happy to see it because it took some time to get there, and it's there, and we're kind of thriving in that area," end quote. Elsewhere in the interview, Rhodes gave his thoughts about his brother Cody Rhodes losing the main event. There's a hyperlink on there if you want to check out this article. But in every way, shape, and form, Dustin Rhodes is correct about what he's saying about the growth of the AEW women's division. And that's kind of where I was at, too. I remember, you know, I was talking about it. For those of y'all who have been pretty much my day ones, y'all know I had a show back in the day called Light the Fuse, where I talked about almost every episode of AEW as much as I saw fit. And the one thing that I really, if I remember correctly, that I really harped on is that, you know, I hope and pray that AEW's women's division does thrive. You know what I'm saying? Because, and I'm sure there's a lot of people, on the social medias that would probably say the same thing. You know, there's people who will probably have a post that says, you know, AEW's women's division greater than, and just have a blank spot, you know. In terms of where AEW stands in terms of their women's division, I think it is much better than WWE's main roster right now. I also think it's better than NXT's women's division right now as it stands. I think right now, besides, you know, if we're talking about North America as a whole, I think AEW's women's division is the best division in North America. Would I say the same thing about it being in the world? Probably not. I mean, you got Stardom. You know, you got TJPW, and they're all female. So is Pro Wrestling Eve over in the UK, all female, and a hell of a promotion, too. But in the grand scheme of things, in terms of North America, AEW's women's division has got it right now. I mean, Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker, Toni Storm, Ruby Soho, Saraya, Jade Cargill, Taya Valkyrie, Sky Blue, Rio, Layla Gray. We got. That's all I can. Tame Ello, Anna Jay, Julia Hart. They have a hell of a division. I think. Now, I mean. The reason I say AEW's women's division is better than WWE's main roster division right now is because they're actually being booked properly. And that's the main reason why I say AEW right now over WWE main roster. Booking. When you look at SmackDown and Raw's women's division right now, especially now that we're in a holding place, not a hiring freeze, apparently, depending on who you ask, I think... Right now, because WWE is in that holding pattern because of the draft, that it kind of has hurt WWE. I mean, even the lead up to WrestleMania, Charlotte and Rhea, great match at WrestleMania. But in terms of the build, it was kind of doo-doo. It was kind of shit. But I've seen this as of late over the past couple of months that AEW's women's division is actually doing quite well. The growth is nice. You know, you're seeing the feud, you know, build between Baker and Hayter and the Outcast. It's a very, and it's pretty much, I think, the top storyline at the moment. It is a very nice build that they have going right now, and especially with what happened this past Wednesday. Very nice. I expect, of course, Chris Jericho and Saraya to face Adam Cole and Britt Baker at some point. Might happen next week. We don't know. But I expect that match to take place at some point. If it's Chris and Tony. Toni Storm, it works just the same. Same with Ruby. But as of right now, I think AEW's women's division is very much thriving. And I love to see it. As most of y'all do know, I am an advocate for women's wrestling across the board. Because more often than not, they get completely overlooked, overseen, not booked properly. And most of the time, it's doo-doo. Which is the main reason why we can't have quality challengers. I mean, Io Sky facing Bianca Belair more than likely being a solid match for... Backlash for the Raw Women's Championship. More often than not, Bianca Belair's reign has been kind of doo-doo. Kind of dookie. And I thought Bianca and Asuka would have been a much better build than it was, and the match being better than it was. Good match. Could have been solid, though. Could have been solid. I'm just saying. And the build didn't really help the cause. But the way that we are seeing AEW's women's division right now, especially with the Outcast being the heel stable of the women's division right now. You have Jade Cargill, of course, her and the one baddie in Layla Gray. And um, I believe Kiera Hogan, I think she's pretty much just shied away. No, Red Velvet, I know she peaced out. And then Hogan, I think, may have peaced out. I know either that or she's injured. But they do have a little bit of a structure there in terms of where everyone stands in the hierarchy. Almost said totem pole, didn't want to do that. That's my bad. In the nice little hierarchy that is the women's division. Okay. But yeah, I mean, the way that, yeah, they have their structure set up properly. And it's nice. It's good. They're doing well, and I hope to see them thrive even more, especially now that we're going into the summer with Double or Nothing, All In, All Out. It's going to be good. I think for the women of AEW, they should be very proud of themselves for building on the growth that they had starting in 2019. I am proud of them, and I want to see them do much better. I think this summer, they're going to show up, show the fuck out, and if I swear on everything I love. Oh, yeah, we got Forbidden Door 2 happening, too, this summer. So all with that, possibility of Mercedes Moné showing up and facing Jamie Hayter, that would be fucking bonkers. Especially, with Sasha talking about, not Sasha, Mercedes, my bad, talking about, you know, wanting to live full-time in Japan and learn the Japanese language. Pretty much kind of, not saying it's official, but, hey, it wouldn't honestly be a bad move because, really, she's been killing it out in Japan. Hoping to see her in the Budokan, Tokyo Dome. Tokyo Dome. If we see Mercedes in the Tokyo Dome, that would be great. But what if possibly Mercedes Moné showed up at All in London? What if that happened? Possibilities are there. And I think AEW will take advantage of them 100%. Finally, we get into our feel-good portion of the day, because I always, for the most part, with every episode, I try to end the show on a good note. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it does not. But for this week, we got it as we head over to Wrestling Inc. Well, not Wrestling Inc. MSN.com again via Clutch Points. Never heard of them before, but this article sounded good to me. Big E provides an update on his recovery that will get WWE fans hyped. From Reddy Breisch. Big E hasn't wrestled a match for WWE since all the way back in March of 2022. When he took a particularly brutal overhead belly-to-belly suplex outside the ring that resulted in a broken neck and an uncertain future for the former WWE champion. Since then, Big E's future has been very much up in the air, as the recovery from a C1 break is typically a process that lasts a year plus, as he's reported in the past that his bone hasn't fully ossified and instead remains fibrous. But during a recent appearance on the Battleground podcast, the man kayfabe-born Ettore Langston happily informed the WWE Universe that his recovering is inching along swimmingly. Saying, quote, "It's just a complicated fracture. I broke my C1 in two places, so that Jefferson fracture is what it's called. It just takes a little bit more time to heal. So we just did the 1 year scan after WrestleMania. It was a little bit later because of WrestleMania. We have to sit down with the doctors at some point and kind of figure out what the next step is. But from my perspective, I feel great. I have no function issues, no pain issues. I've been at the gym since 2 weeks after I broke my neck. I'm just feeling great, and I'm really grateful for all that. It's just, obviously, your neck has to be in a certain condition to deal with the rigors of being in the ring on a nightly basis," end quote. Now, granted, Big E didn't mention the ossification of his C1, maybe because the concept is pretty technically complex, but even if the bone hasn't fully reformed just yet, it's encouraging to know that the WWE superstar is feeling great and can find himself back in the ring at some point in 2023. But until then, Big E can enjoy his time off and root for his New Day partner in crime, Xavier Woods, as he attempts to bring a singles title back to the faction on SmackDown versus the Intercontinental Champion, Gunther. I know it's Saturday, but I assure you that, that ain't happening. So, of course, y'all know I recorded this on a Friday, but I don't think that's going to be happening. But I hope Xavier Woods doesn't get sent to the Shadow Realm via chop to the chest. So we'll see. But honestly, this is great news to hear. I mean, we know we all want Big E to come back. I want Big E to come back. It's always a new day. Yes, it is. But you know, he's got to go through the process. But at least after a year, and surprise, and the crazy to think that it's been a fucking year since that happened. Holy shit. I actually watched that live. Holy shit. My lord. But I'm really happy to see his recovery, the rehab he had to do, everything he had to do. He's going along swimmingly. You know, he's got a little bit more time to heal. And to hear that he was in the gym 2 weeks after he broke his fucking neck. To some, that would be insane because you broke your fucking neck. But to him, it's just like, I feel good enough to go to the gym. I'm not going to go buck wild crazy, but I can still hit the weights. You know, I can hit chest, maybe, you know, do some back, maybe legs. You can still do things in the gym, even though you may have hurt your neck. You know what I'm saying? Just got to know what you can't do. Honestly, I don't believe you're going to be doing any crazy shoulder shrugs with a neck injury. Traps, you know, shoulders, around the neck area. Yeah, you're going to feel some soreness there. No reason for you to be doing any of that. But it's really cool. It's really good to know that, you know, he's getting back to, you know, he's recovering well, you know, hitting the gym, still doing what he wants to do. He's got no issues, no function issues, no pain issues. This is all positive, just goodness that is being given to us. That's a win in and of itself. That's the best thing we can hear from Big E, is that he's recovering well and that he's actually taking care of himself. Everything is pretty much going to plan, and maybe in the next few months we'll see him back in the WWE ring if all still goes according to plan. Again, I don't know what ossification is. I'm probably going to Google it after I, you know, finish this show today, after I finish all the particulars for the show today, because that's something I may want to get into. Or, you know, just get a little bit more information as to what it is. Altogether, when all is said and done, we should all be happy that the recovery for Big E is going well. He's doing fine. No function issues, no pain issues. He's feeling great. He's feeling grateful. You know, he just needs to still, you know, get back into in-ring form before he fully gets back into the swing of things. That's the best we can hope for. And honestly, this is the best news that, you know, we can get from Big E. You know, something of that nature, if it's a torn quad, torn pec, anything of that nature, we all want the recovery to go well, especially if it's for talent we like. That's all we can hope for. This is probably the best news we've gotten since Big E was injured. And, you know, we'll soon see how much time he has left before he's able to come back in full capacity in a WWE ring. And ladies and gentlemen, that is going to conclude. Words are hard today. I can't speak English. That's going to conclude episode 360 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, as y'all know, we do every single week, we're going to close out the show in proper YLP fashion and get you ready for episode 361 of the YLP podcast. Be right back. Well, guys, that's going to be it for episode 360 of the YLP podcast. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast, and as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 359 episodes of the YLP podcast, and yes, including the very first episode of the YLP podcast, because I listened back to it a long time ago, and that was straight garbage compared to how I am now. So, even I will critique myself at any given point because that's how I get now. But yes, like I said, if you want to leave a voice message, you can head over to podcasters.spotify.com/YoungLionsPerspective. And you can also leave an email over at YoungLionsPerspective@email.com. Let me know what's up. Sound off. Let me know how you're feeling, what you're thinking, what your opinion is. I want it to be heard. God damn it. If you want to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast, you can follow me on all my social medias over at Twitter at YLPerspective. Over on Instagram at Young_Lions_Perspective, and on Facebook, or just simply search for Young Lions Perspective Podcast. Of course, you can check out this episode of the podcast, of course, on Spotify for podcasters. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify itself, actually, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Next week, episode 361 of the YLP Podcast. Of course, we're going to be bringing you all more of all the news. That's been for me to talk about. Didn't really see anything on the Guerrero situation, which is good. As far as anything with the merger with Endeavor, I haven't heard anything about that, which is, I guess, good? Question mark? We'll see. But whatever news comes down the pike, I will make sure to do my damnedest to find it and let y'all know what it is all about. And if you do have any news that you want to send to me for next week's episode, honestly, I welcome it. And that would be, it would definitely be much appreciated. Again, send it out to me over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. Send me that news. And if I think it's worthy of being on next week's episode, I will give you a shout out, read your article, and make sure you have your moment of magnificence. All right, and you can brag to your friends all about it. Yeah, Mr. YLP did the episode, you know, talking about my article on the episode. Yeah. So if you want to make that happen, Captain, hit me up with an email. That's going to be it for me, though. I'm going to get the hell out of here. Guys, enjoy the remainder of your weekend. Whatever it is you may be doing, enjoy it the best that you possibly can. Plan for the week. Kick that week's ass. And I'll see you guys right back here next Saturday for episode 361 of the YLP Podcast. See you.
This has been a WrestleAttic Radio branded podcast.